Good morning and welcome to my kitchen where I'm sitting over a cup of tea, Ayurvedic tea, listening. And I've just finished listening to an audio clip, a podcast by Claire Randall over on audioboom.com. And she's joining in a conversation that's going on there about the purpose of existence. And Claire moves from the major question of the purpose of existence to the reason why things happen. So she seems to me to move very fluidly from the purpose of something to the reason why something exists. So the purpose of life is to achieve something, I suppose, is what is in the reason why something has happened. The reason why something has happened is X. The purpose of that existence is X. But the interesting experience I had while listening to Claire tell great stories about, for example, a man who got on an aeroplane which crashed, and he somehow survived. And the same man got on an aeroplane 6 months later, which crashed. And I presume he died in the second air crash. So his time had come, Claire implies, suggests or raises the question, had his time come? And if one plane crash didn't kill him, well, the reason why the second plane crash would happen would be to ensure that what was meant to happen during the first plane crash did actually happen. I do a crude paraphrase of Claire's storytelling there, and I draw out from her storytelling something that may not be an exact representation. But let me tell you that something else came into my mind while I was listening to Claire talk, mainly about the reason why things happen. And it is, when Claire is talking about the reason why things happen, the word causality came to me. And it seems to me to be, she's talking very much about what is the cause of something happening. So for sake of argument, making it really interesting, Claire refers to that film in which somebody runs down the stairs and just gets on a train. And the second scenario in the film is that the person runs down the stairs into the station and misses the train. And she talks about the fact that, well, if you got on the train, one whole series of results come about. But if you miss the train, a whole different series of events come about. And in the whole picture that Claire is painting and grappling with, I'm listening to it in my kitchen, not yet fully dressed, in dressing gown, and I'm saying to myself, causality. What is the nature of causality? And then what happens is that what pops into my mind is something that I found really helpful, and it is the phrase necessary but not sufficient cause of something. Necessary and sufficient. So for sake of argument, the person charging down the stairs to get into the train, one of the it's for a certain result to come about, it's necessary that the train is there and the train door is open to let the person in. If the train closes its doors 1 second earlier, one of the necessary conditions for what happened is missing. But then we have the scenario in the film shows what happens after the person, after, and that's an important thing, what happens after the person gets into the train. However, if we then look and try to say that the cause of what happens next is that the person got on the train, we undercomplicate the situation. The situation is such that there are a whole lot of other necessary conditions that have to exist for a result to come about. So if I say, for sake of argument, that I drop a cup on the floor, the cup smashes, I could imagine a situation where the same cup is dropped onto that floor, but a few minutes earlier, my daughter has put something soft on that particular spot on the floor, so that when the cup falls, the cup does not shatter, or it breaks into smaller, into larger pieces than it would have broken into. So we have the notion of something being necessary. In other words, for the cup to smash, it does have to fall out of my hand. But we also have to have in existence sufficient. So something we need necessary and sufficient. Necessary and sufficient conditions in order for A to cause B. And I think this raises a big issue for the usefulness of notions of causality. If we want to have a simplified version of a situation, we can say that something causes something else. A very familiar notion that comes into my head is where we say, you made me angry. Somebody does something and the other person says, I say, you made me angry. What we know when we analyse the situation a bit with an air of detachment is that one person said something, it was followed by me getting angry. But if it was a different person in my situation, there might not have been a feeling of anger. So in order for me to feel anger at what somebody else has said, there are some other things that need to exist. I don't simply respond to the words that have been said by somebody else. I respond to what happens within me when those words are heard. In other words, the person says something and it reminds me of something that I really didn't like as a child, and I finally strike out against the person who has spoken to me. But what I'm really striking out against is the experience that has lodged itself in my memory. So I maybe respond in a much, much stronger way than another person would have responded because of my background, because of my previous experience, because of my associations, or because of even what I imagine to be implied by the person. Oh, I take back that last part of it. Leave imagination out of it. It overcomplicates the situation. But so you can see that I'm intending to convey the understanding, to offer it to you, that causality is difficult, and that for purposes of shortcut and for purposes of simplicity, we use causality an awful lot. You caused me to do this, I caused you to do that. Even if we were to say, for sake of argument, that in order for the banks to have collapsed the way they did when they did, so many other conditions need to have existed that it's very difficult, very, very difficult to pin down the reason why the banks collapsed the way they did. What we usually do is adopt some sort of definition of what is sufficient cause for something to happen. So all the necessary and sufficient causes are there. But our notion of sufficient cause is usually, what do I mean to say? I say sufficient cause is something that comes about through habits of thinking. So the reality is that, I suppose I'm trying to say in a very cack-handed way, that pure causality doesn't exist. What exists is a convention about causality. We agree with each other that such and such a situation which has certain things going on in it adds up to an explanation. If we take the question of, you know, some very young child who contracts a fatal illness and dies, a completely unexpected fatal illness, nothing that has ever existed before is like it. It's a human reaction to say, you know, why should this happen to me? And usually that's it. What really is being expressed by the question, why should this happen to me? Why should we lose our baby? That form of language, which is expressed in that way, is actually a form of sadness and anger mixed together. It doesn't actually mean why. The person is almost certainly not seeking out the cause of the child dying. If the person were to seek the cause of the child dying, it would be necessary to go into what information is known about the genetic background of the child. And then we enter into a mysterious situation, which was described by, well, not first, but I think second, by Darwin, a random variation. There is genetically, there are genetically random variations. They take place randomly, as opposed to deliberately. And the child may well have had the experience of a random mutation of something in the genes which leads to the tragic death of the child. So I wonder, let me stop there. I suppose I'm more raising the question of causality in the context of notions of purpose and notions of the reason why. And I'm trying to say that our notions of causality are a matter of, are socially determined. It's fashion, and it's tacit agreement, I suppose, that determines how satisfied we are that something has caused something else. Okay. Thank you very much to Pilgrim Chris, particularly, for having started the dialogue, or the I call it metalogue, the huge, massive number of people chipping in the nation about the nature of the purpose of existence. And it seems to be leading us through various, perhaps even what we might agree were random variations, into a number of different corners. So this is Paul O'Mahony, O'Mahony Blog on the Internet, saying thanks very much for giving me a listen. I hope you have a really good day. Bye-bye.